Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text Number 37, Maharaj Nimi meets 9 Yogendras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Bhayam Ditiya Apinivesha Dasyat.
Bhayam Ditiya Apinivesha Dasyat.
Ishadabedasya viparyayo smriti. Tanmayato buddha abhajetam. Bhaktiyai gayesham guru devatatma. Bhayam. Fear. Dutiya. In something seeming to be other than the Lord. Abhinivesata. Because of absorption. Syat. It will arise. Ishat. From the Supreme Lord. Apedasya. For one who has turned away. Vivaryaya. Misidentification. Asmriti, forgetfulness, tat, of the Lord, maya, by the illusory energy, atah, therefore, buddha, an intelligent person, abhajet, should worship fully, tam, him, bhaktya, with devotion, ekaya, unalloyed, isham, the Lord, gurudevatatma, one who sees his own spiritual master as his Lord and very sword. Translation. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency of illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. Can read with responsibility. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body. Because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency of illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. Purport. It's a long purport. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, the objection may be raised that since fear is caused by ignorance, it can be dispelled by knowledge and there is no need to worship the Supreme Lord. The living entity falsely identifies with his material body, family, society and so on, and he simply has to give up this false identification. Then what will Maya be able to do? In reply to this argument, Srila Sridhara Swami has quoted the following verse from Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Devi Heshi Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya Mameve Prabhadinte Maya Medan Tarantide. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. The living entity called Jiva Tattva is one of the potencies of the Lord, but the constitutional position of the living entity is tatastha or marginal. Being minute, every living entity is eternally dependent upon the supreme living entity Krishna. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature as follows. Nityo nityanam chedanas chedananam eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. Among all the eternally conscious beings, there is one supreme eternal living being who is supplying the need of all the innumerable others. Kathopanishad 2.1.12. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Vridhya. Krishna is the only independent controller. All other living entities depend upon him. CC Adilila 5.142. Just as the finger is a part and parcel of the body and therefore must always be engaged in bodily service, we as part and parcel of Krishna, Mamevamsha Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, have the eternal duty, Sanatana Dharma, of engaging in the unalloyed service of the Lord. The potency of the Lord that enlightens us in the Lord's service is called Chit Shakti. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that when the living entity develops a spirit of independence, he is forced to come to the material world, where he enters into various types of petty and undesirable behavior that create a fearful situation for him. The Bahiranga Shakti, the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord, covers all traces of Chit Shakti and imposes one material body after another upon the living entity for his gross sinful enjoyment. As further punishment, the living entity who has given up his loving relationship with Krishna loses all power to perceive the eternal blissful form of the Supreme Lord, who is his actual shelter. Instead, the living entity becomes attached to many temporary phantasmagorical forms such as his personal body, the bodies of his family members and friends, his nation, his city with its buildings and cars, and innumerable types of ephemeral material scenery. In such a state of gross ignorance, the idea of returning to one's original identity no longer even crosses the mind. By the law of God, the three modes of material nature are constantly in conflict. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, this conflict is described in many places in the Bhagavatam as Guru Vyadikaram. When the living entity is bewildered by the interactions of the modes of material nature, he comes to the conclusion of relativity and assumes that God and worship of God are simply byproducts of relative, contradictory interactions of nature's modes. In the name of anthropological, sociological or psychological perspective, the living entity falls deeper and deeper into the darkness of materialistic ignorance, dedicating himself to mundane piety, economic development, sense gratification or speculation, in which he regards the absolute as lacking variety and personality, which he assumes to be products of the interactions of modes of nature's modes. The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord is Durateya. It is impossible to escape without the direct mercy of Krishna. Mam evaye prabhadyante mayametam tarantite. The example may be given that when the sun is covered by clouds, no man-made apparatus can remove them from the sky. But the sun itself, which created the clouds, can immediately burn away the cloudy covering and reveal itself. Similarly, when he becomes covered by the illusory potency of the Lord, we identify with our temporary material body and thus we are always in fear and anxiety. But when we surrender to the Lord Himself, He can immediately free us from the illusion. The material world is padam padam yat vibadam. It is dangerous at every step. When a living entity understands that he is not the material body but an eternal servant of God, his fear is vanquished. As stated by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Atra Bhakte Samsara Bandha Na Phedavyam Sahi Bhaktau Pravartamanasya Swas eva eva vayadi. In this Bhagavad Dharma, devotees have no need to fear the bondage of material existence. That fear goes away of its own accord for one who engages in devotional service. It is important to make clear that bhayam or fear cannot ultimately be vanquished simply by impersonal self-realization as expressed by the word Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit soul. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12, Narada Muni says to Vyasadeva, Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate. Mere naishkarmyam or cessation of material activities and repudiation of bodily concept of life cannot ultimately save us. The living entity must find a superior shelter on the spiritual platform. Therefore, he will come back to the fearful situation of material existence. That is stated in Shastra. Aruhya krichena param padam tata patantyatho anadhrata yushmadanghaya. Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Although one may with great labor and effort struggle up to the Brahman platform, klesho adhigarastesham avyaktasakta chedasham. If he does not find a suitable shelter, he will come back to the material platform. His so-called liberation is vimuktamana, liberation by imagination. The living entity is by nature pleasure-seeking, anandamaya. Now we are suffering because we were partly seeking pleasure on the material platform, and as a result, we are becoming entangled in the painful complexities of material existence. But if we try to give up the pleasure-seeking propensity altogether, we shall eventually become frustrated and return to the platform of material pleasure-seeking. Although there is eternal existence on the Brahman platform of impersonal realization, there is no ananda. Variety is therefore is the mother of enjoyment. In the Vaikuntha planets, there is actual spiritual ananda. Krishna is there in his ecstatic spiritual form surrounded by his blissful associates, all of them eternally full of bliss and knowledge. They have nothing to do with material existence. In the spiritual planets, even the scenery and birds and animals are fully conscious of Krishna and are absorbed in transcendental bliss. Yat gatva nani vartande tadhama parama mama. Bhagavad Gita 15.6. One who goes to the blissful spiritual planet of Krishna will be fully satisfied and never come back to the material platform. Therefore, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has said, Kim chatra bhakti samsara bandha na bhedavyam. Only the bhakta actually becomes free from fear. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized the necessity of accepting a bona fide spiritual master who is Vrajendra Nandana Prashta, the dearmost aviator of the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master is completely free from envy of other living entities, and therefore he freely distributes knowledge of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entities who are inimical to the service of the Lord somehow hears this knowledge submissively, they become free from the illusory potency of the Lord, which has covered them and thrown them into various miserable species of life. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the faithful disciple gradually realizes the transcendental position of Lord Narayan, who is served with great awe and reverence by hundreds and thousands of goddess of fortune. As the disciple's transcendental knowledge gradually increases, even the Paramaisharya or supreme opulence of the Lord of Vaikuntha becomes pale in the light of beauty of Govinda, Krishna. Govinda has inconceivable potency to enchant and give pleasure. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, the disciple gradually develops his own blissful relationship, rasa, with Govinda. Having understood the blissful pastime of Lakshmi Narayan, Sri Sitaram, Rukmini Dwarakathish, and finally Lord Krishna himself, the purified living entity is given the unique privilege of participating directly in the devotional service of Krishna, who becomes his only object and shelter. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి సపతాంతికం. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఐ సీక్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ వైష్ణవాస్ అండ్ వైష్ణవీస్ టు స్పీక్ సంథింగ్ for my purification as well as hopefully to help others. This verse is an answer to the first question posed by King Nimi to nine Yogendras. So here we can see the question is, what is the ultimate good? What is Atyantikam Kshemam? Means the ultimate good. And we can see that this is the purpose of human form of life. That is to inquire about the ultimate good. To inquire about the absolute truth. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see there is a question by Sri Sukadeva Goswami. That is the, from second canto onwards, we can see the answer to that question. So, Sukadeva Goswami asks, what is the Shuddham Kartyam? That is, what is the purified activity that people in general should perform at all time as well as at the time of death? And immediately after hearing this question, Sukadeva Goswami glorified the question. He said, Variyan Eshate Prashna. That is, this question is very glorious. The reason being, the answer to this question is the prime subject matter for all the people. So the question regarding to Krishna and question regarding the absolute truth helps one who is asking the question, one who is answering the question, as well as everyone who hears that. So that is the potency of questions, any question regarding Krishna. So here the question by King Nimi is also very glorious because it is asking about the Atyantikam Kshemam, the ultimate good. And here we can see the verse starts with the term Bhaya. Bhaya means fear. So the material world is full of fear, or full of anxieties in different ways. We can see, even in the current society, we can see there is a big problems like global warming. You know, this civilization is basically, we can call this as a petroleum civilization. Mm-hmm. Everything, if you see, look around, everything is dependent on petroleum, oil. So we have wars for oil. If there is a slight increase in the petrol, in the price of fuel, the whole economy is affected because the freight is affected directly. So the whole society is quite a bit dependent on petroleum. And food, shelter, all these things, we have problem. So this world is full of anxieties in one or the other way. But people may claim, people may say, no, we are not at all fearful. We are, no fear for us. We are happy doing whatever we are doing. But even though people can claim in a way that, you know, they don't fear, but their action actually speaks louder than their words. It's like if you say, somebody says, you know, I am not at all fearful of death, but if fire breaks off, they will happily run away because they are fearful of fire. They are fearful of death. And if we look at Shastra, Shastra also says, Bhayam is the concomitant factor in the material existence. It is said, Bhoge Roga Bhayam Kule Chuti Bhayam Vitte Nrupalad Bhayam Mane Dainya Bhayam Bale Ripu Bhayam Rupe Jaraya Bhayam Shastre Vadi Bhayam Gune Khalu Bhayam Kaye Kratantad Bhayam Sarvam Vastu Bhayam. It says fear. Bhayam means fear. So it's saying fear, fear, fear. Everywhere is fear in this material existence. So we can see the first one. Why it is said that everywhere is fear? First is Bhoge Roga Bhayam. Bhoge means if you want to enjoy there is always some problem. That is, there is fear of disease. Say somebody is going to doctor and if he's, you know, doing all this blood test and everything, and if he comes up with, okay, he has got high cholesterol, then big problem. No more he can enjoy ghee or nice halwa is there, but no one can enjoy. So the cholesterol level goes up, roge, bhoge, roga bhayam, immediately finished. So India, this time when I went, you know, I a lot of old people I met, they were, you know, many of them have diabetes problem. So they are so much concerned about whatever they are eating. And as a matter of fact, they cannot really control their tongue. So in between they take sweets also. And just before going to the doctor, just before the day before the test, they take extra medicine. Three or four tablets extra. And then they go for test, and after coming back, you know, again. So it's sort of adjustment. They are so much worried about roga, for the disease. So always there is bhoge, roga bhayam. Next is kule chuti bhayam. Kule means if we have got a nice family background, and if we have got a lot of wealth, nice dynasty, then if there is no progeny, then it is a big problem. That is kule chuti bhayam. In Shastra, we can say the examples of King Anga. Anga was a great king, but he didn't have any son. Then he performed the sacrifice and he got a son. That was Vena. Though he was a rascal number one, he got a son. So he had this problem, Kule Chyuti Bhayam. Then there is an example of Maharaj Chitraketu. Chitraketu also had this problem, no progeny. Then by the mercy of Angiramani, and he got a son. But Angiramani said, okay, you will get a son, but the same son will be the cause of both lamentation as well as happiness. And his name was Harsha Shok. Harsha means happiness and Shok means distress. And as we know, eventually, you know, he passed away, and King, you know, Chitraketu had to go through the suffering. It was like, you know, he got, it's like a poor man who gets a lot of riches and in one go he loses everything. So at one step he was fully happy, fully satisfied, and in the next step everything went down. Next is Mane Dainya Bhayam. Mane means if somebody is, you know, have a lot of respect, a lot of honor if he is expecting, and for him dishonor is worse than death. Actually, we can see in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is pursuing Arjun to fight, this point is actually coming up. That is, for a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. So that is also one of the reason, you know. Mane Dainya Bhayam. Then Vitte Nripalad Bhayam. That is, if you have got lot of wealth, then there is a problem. That is Nripalad Bhayam. That is, you have to be worried about the thieves. You know, there is chap security here. India, there is, you know, nice Godrej locks, now Tal locks, everything is there. Why? Because Vitte Nripalad Bhayam. Then Bale Ritu Bhayam. That is, if you have got lot of strength, then you are worried about if there is an enemy who will defeat me. Maybe in cricket, you know, if India is playing with someone, or, you know, footy match, everywhere there is this problem. That is Bale Ritu Bhayam. Then Rupe Jaraya Bhayam. That is a big problem. Rupe means if you have got lot of beauty, if you are beautiful, then what is the problem? Jara. Old age is a big problem. You know, the whole cosmetic industry is flourishing because of the same reason. That is Rupe Jaraya Bhayam. If you go to Burke Street, Meyer, you know, you see, you know, lot of cosmetics. The whole reason for the sale is one simple principle. That is Rupe Jaraya Bhayam. And Shastre Vadi Bhayam. If you are quite learned, then there is a problem. That is, if someone will come to me and argue and maybe defeat you. So Shastre Vadi Bhayam. Especially, you know, I have experience, you know, when we submit some paper to some journal or conference, you know, we cross-check in so many different angles. Okay, if this question arises, what will happen? Okay, the reviewers look at this point, what will happen? Like, we are so much concerned. That is Shastre Vadi Bhayam. So, in all these respects, we see that fear is everywhere in the material existence. We may accept or we may not accept, but it is there. Prabhupada calls this world as Pavarga. If you see this world, to understand a little bit more about the material world, he calls it as Pavarga. It is exactly opposite to Apavarga. Apavarga means liberation from the material existence. But the material world is just the opposite. When A is removed, it becomes Pavarga. Pa in Sanskrit, actually each group of letters is grouped into, you know, Kavarga, Chavarga, Tavarga, Pavarga, etc. So Pavarga means five letters, that is Pa, Pa, Ba, Bha, Ma. Where Pa is standing for Parishram. Parishram means hard work. So in this world, one cannot make it without hard work. Not possible. Prabhupada gives the example of a donkey, you know, and ass is working so hard, day and night. And for what? To get a little bit of grass at the end of the day. And if someone shows him, you know, look, grass is everywhere. But ass will say, no, 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 I don't want to go. Because yesterday I heard my master speaking to his daughter. What was that? Master said, look, daughter was misbehaving in some way. So father told him, look, if you consistently do this, I will give you I will marry you to this donkey. So the donkey said, okay, I am waiting for that day. So I will keep working very hard. You know, that is Parishram. And due to Parishram, what happens? Next is Pa, Fena. Fena means, actually Fena literally means the foam coming from the mouth of a horse. When horse is running very fast, after some time some foam comes. That is Fena. So in material existence, in a human form, it is not Fena like this, but it is stress and anxiety. Then next is Pa, Pa, Ba. Ba is Bandhan. Bandhan means we are bound. Where can we go? We are bound by the material nature. We are bound by the material laws. Can we go anywhere? No. Can we commit suicide? Yes, you can. But you have to come back. So, there is no, you know, Bandhan is there all the time. And Pa, Pa, Ba, Pa. Bha is Bhai. That is also one of the very important factor in the material existence. Bhai. That is, everyone is fearful. Fearful about their life, basically. That's the reason. The final thing is Ma, that is Mrityu. Ultimately, everyone is fearful about Mrityu, that is death. That is the ultimate fear. So this point, actually, this difficult situation, the stressful situation in the material existence, Prahlad Maharaj says it is Sada Samadhikna Dhyaya. Sada means always. Samadhikna Dhyaya means always in anxiety. So, if you think there is no anxiety at any moment, it's not right. All the time, people have anxiety. And now we can see, so it is clear that the fear and this anxiety, it is prevalent in the material existence. Then we can see why this kind of fear is a concomitant factor in the material existence. The key point is, we don't want to lose anything. We are very much concerned. If we don't want to even lose even a single cent, even a, you know, nice dhoti, any small thing, we don't want to lose anything. That is our nature. For instance, if you see a kid is actually very much concerned about losing a toy. He's attached to a toy. He's not actually really bothered about what will happen to his health. No, he's not worried about, you know, the glasses, or, you know, he's not worried about his heart, how is it working. No, he's not worried about that. At that point of time, he is simply worried about a toy. And as he grows up, you know, he might be worried about, you know, his car or bike or whatsoever. And as the age increases, generally, they will be worried about their own body. Because they will see that the body itself is getting deteriorated. It is dwindling. So the point is, if something really belongs to us, how can we lose that? It's not possible. So for a kid, he knows that he is going to lose the toy. And he takes it for granted, his health. So he is not worried about his health. Rather, he is just worried about the toy. But ultimately, for a devotee, easily we can understand, as, you know, the age progresses, when the body starts dwindling, it makes very clear, body doesn't belong to us. So when we try to get that body and when we try to keep that, then there is a fear of losing. So this kind of fear is present everywhere, in all aspects. So, and at the time of death, that is losing everything. It's not just the body, all the attachments to the body, whatever we have, work we have done, everything is going to go. So that pain is very high. That is the reason in Garuda Purana say it is the time of death, the pain is biting of 40,000 scorpions. So it's not just the body thing, but it's the mind also, because all the attachments are severed in one go. Now, this verse actually very nicely explains what is the reason for this. That is, bhayam dvitiya abhinivesha syat. So that actually gives the answer. Dvitiya, the word dvitiya is very important. Because dvitiya, the literal, okay, here the dvitiya is translated as something which is not in connection with Krishna or something other than Krishna. But if we see what the literal translation of dvitiya, dvitiya means secondary. It's like in Sanskrit, dvitiya, primary is prathama, secondary is dvitiya, you know, tritiya, chaturthi, like that it goes. So dvitiya means secondary. So the language itself actually says something which is material is secondary. So primary or prathama is spiritual. So because there are two things we know when we define knowledge. Knowledge means knowledge of matter, understanding that what is matter, what is spirit, and understanding the controller of both. So there are two things, one is matter and one is spirit. So by the term dvitiya, it makes it clear that matter is only secondary. Even though in the material existence everyone is pursuing for matter, it is only secondary. And abhinivesata means too much of involvement with the matter. So the bhayam is actually caused by too much of involvement or too much of identification with the matter, or considering oneself as the matter. And one who is absorbed in the second nature, he has to be fearful of death, because he is identifying with the body and the body is going to die, so he has to be fearful. That is, you know, there is no other way. Prahlad Maharaj says this point, sada samadhigna dhyam asadgrahat. Why this kind of thing happens? Sada samadhigna, why this anxiety arises, why this fear arises? Sada samadhigna dhya, because asadgrahat, because of accepting something which is asat, something which is temporary. That is the reason. Because we are sat, we are eternal, but by accepting ourselves into something temporary, then as a result of that, the fear or the anxiety has to be there. So that is the exact nature of the material existence, in which the happiness in the material existence. Whatever happiness we perceive, it is temporary. We say it is chapala sukha. We might get something, we might make it in our life, you know, we might get a good job, good money, but it can last for only some time. After that, we get used to that, we get adapted to that. And after that, the same thing cannot give any more happiness. It cannot give the same satisfaction. That is the reason this adaptation, it is actually studied by even the material scientists. And they confirmed there is this process called adaptation to the environment, adaptation to the situation you are in, where no more you can enjoy as you were able to. So we call that simply as chapala sukha, that is temporary happiness. And to counteract that, what is the solution? People go from one to other. That is, work so hard for some time and after that go on a vacation. And he can't stay in the vacation for too long, so he has to come back. That is bhoga and then tyag. That is, first enjoy and then renounce. So this is the kind of happiness present in the material existence. That it is temporary and it is characterized by bhoga tyag. That is, enjoying and then renouncing it. And why the whole thing is the process, that is bhayam dvitiya, how this happened, abhinivesata, why it happened? So that is explained by the next word, that is isha tabedasya. The word is given isha tabedasya, that is turning away from Krishna. We were with Krishna, but since we turned away from Krishna, due to that all this thing happened. That is isha tabedasya viparyayo smriti. Viparya means identification. That is, once we turn away from Krishna, one is identifying with matter. And as a result of that, asmriti. Smriti means remembrance, and asmriti means forgetfulness. So once we turn away from Krishna, we are in complete forgetfulness of the reality that as we are the eternal servant of Krishna. And it is like Lord has two energies, spiritual energy and the material energy. So one has to buy into either of these. There is no option in between. That is, if one is not in spiritual consciousness, then one has to be in material consciousness. That is the reason. If one is in the internal potency of under the shelter of internal potency of Krishna, or he is under the shelter of external potency of Krishna. He is under the shelter of Antaranga Shakti or Bahiranga Shakti. So here, since the living entity is turned away from Krishna, he is accepting, he is taking into by the control of the external energy of Krishna, that is Bahiranga Shakti. That is the reason the next line says, Tanmayato, that is Tanmayato. Then who is in charge? That is Maya Devi. So once we are turned away from Krishna, the in charge person is Maya Devi, Durga. She will keep everyone in the material existence. So that is Maya Devi. And Maya Devi has two potencies. That is, one is her covering potency, that is Avaranatmika Shakti, and her pulling down potency, that is Prakshepatmika Shakti. So with these potencies, she is very expert in keeping the living entities in the material world. That is, in any situation, the living entity can think, I am very happy and satisfied. There is the example of Indra being cursed and he came as a hawk. And when the curse period finished, Lord Brahma came and he has to come. You know, you had to go back. You had to, you know, there is no one in the heavenly planet. You come, you rule over there. But, you know, in the body of a hawk, Indra said, no, I have my wife, I have my kids, you know, how can I go? I have my ditch, you know, so nice. How will I go? I had to be here, so nice place. So this is Avaranatmika Shakti. This is the covering potency. And the pulling down potency means basically if we try to make progress, she will give test. Whether can we go up, she will test. If we can, good. Otherwise, it will come down. So that is the test of sincerity. So these tests are there all the time. It's like one time in one of the press conference in India, Prabhupada was explaining how he started the movement in India, New York, and how hippies, you know, they were in bad habits and everything, and they came to Krishna consciousness and they started chanting. So the reporters, being envious, they said, look, you know, these third class people, even they are chanting, you know, it's not so, you know, what is this, you know, even the hippies, they are chanting. They didn't really appreciate some questions. They said, oh, what is this? So Prabhupada said, as first day Prabhupada said, even they are so low class, still they themselves are chanting and you are not chanting, so what's your condition? And after that, they said, okay, they were dissatisfied because they took up a life of hippie or whatsoever because of dissatisfaction. But the reporter said, we are happy, we are working hard, we are getting our money and we are satisfied with that, so why should we take to chanting? Prabhupada said, an ass is also very happy. So, it was heavy, but Prabhupada was so, you know, his words are so powerful, they accepted. You know, they could take it. They didn't have any problem. So that is the potency of Maya Devi. That is, in any circumstance, she will make sure that everyone is happy. In the sense, satisfied. Okay, at least some hope. If not now, in the future. That is the hope that Maya Devi gives. And here, in the purport, there is a very interesting point. Okay, we know this material existence is fearful and, you know, there are a lot of problems. There is a further punishment that I will read from the purport. That is very, very interesting. The living entity who has given up his loving relationship with Krishna loses all power to perceive the eternal blissful form of the Lord who is his actual shelter. Because Krishna is the all-loving, Krishna is all-merciful, he is the all-attractive, he has got all good qualities, but since we have come here, one punishment is, okay, we have to suffer the material existence. On other side, one is deprived of the association of the Supreme Lord. So it is said as a further punishment, the living entity has to be deprived of the eternal association of the Supreme Lord. Next is how to get out. Okay, we understood. Okay, there is fear in this life and how it is manifesting, but how to get out of this fearful situation? That is the last line of the verse. Actually, it said, "My Buddha abhajetam." Buddha means one who is intelligent. So understanding the material circumstances, understanding the fearful situation in the material world, Buddha, one who is intelligent, abhaje tam. That is, one should worship. Tam means he is the Supreme Lord. And then the solution is given. That is, bhaktiyeka esham. Guru Devatatma, bhaktiyeka esham. That is the solution. Solution is unflinching devotional service. So here, when we see, actually it's very interesting, back in Nectar of Devotion, actually in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the reasons, after defining sadhana bhakti, Rupa Goswami quotes a verse from second kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says one of the motivation to do the Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. So he says, he quotes the verse, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrodhavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavya Chetada Abhayam. That is, one who is desirous of Abhayam, one who is desirous of getting out of fear, then he should take the process of Shrodhavya, Kirtidavyascha, and then Smartavya. That is, Smaranam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. One should take the process of Sadhana Bhakti. That is one of the motivation of starting the Sadhana Bhakti, or the Bhakti in the process of, with the rules and regulation. And in the purport, very interesting point gives, before giving the solution, it says, what are not the solutions? Actually, two points are described in the purport, which say, okay, these are not the solutions. One is a quote from Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami says, okay, the reason for fear is not understanding that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. So by knowledge, if we give the enough gyan, enough knowledge, then actually we can come out of fear. That is one argument. Same in the cycle of karma, we can see the whole reason of, you know, prarabdha, kuta, bija, all kind of reaction, sinful reaction, the ultimate cause is avidya. So one can argue, just by vidya, we can remove avidya. Because opposite of ignorance is knowledge, understanding. So with vidya, we can counteract avidya. But Sridhara Swami says, that alone is not enough. Okay, that is the beginning. Vidya is required. We know Sambhadagyan is required. But that itself is not enough. What is required? One should act upon that. That is the reason it says, Devi Heshi Gunamayi Mama Maya Dirathyaya Mam Evaye Prabhadyande Mayamedam Tarandite. So, Mam Evaye Prabhadyande. One should surrender unto Krishna. So, the knowledge in itself is not enough. Knowledge should come in practice. So, and it should become the realized knowledge. Then, one can get out of the clutches of material existence. Second argument given is, why not understanding, okay, we are the spirit soul. By understanding, I am Brahmasmi. Then we can actually solve the problem. That is, understanding our real spiritual identity, then we can solve the problem. By the impersonal understanding. So it is said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, that is also not a solution. It's like Shankaracharya says, the famous verse, he says, Shlokarthena vivakshyami yaduktam grantha kodifi brahma satyam jagan mithya jivo brahmaiva napara. The first line of the verse is, he says, Shlokarthena vivakshyami. Shlokartha means half of a verse. Vivakshyami, I will explain. What I will explain? Yaduktam grantha kodifi. Yaduktam, whatever is said in grantha kodifi, with crores and millions of text, I will just, after shloka, that is half of a verse, I am going to describe everything. That is the statement of Shankaracharya. And then he says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That is, you know, the only Brahman is truth, Jagat, this material world is false. Jivo Brahmaiva Napara. Jiva and Brahman are one and the same. So basically he is saying, don't worry, don't get confused with so many verses in Bhagavatam. Just one point, everything is one. The problem is solved. So that kind of understanding also cannot solve the problem. Still one will be in the material existence. That is the prayer given by the demigods actually. Aryuhya Krishna Parampadam Tata Padantyatho Anadata Yushmadankraya. That is actually in the Garbhasudhi, in the second chapter of 10th canto. The demigods are telling Krishna. Krishna was in the womb of Mother Devaki. So he is telling, the demigods are telling, even though Aryuhya Krishna, with lot of endeavor, the impersonalist, they might get to the Parampadam. But they have to still come back. Patantiyatha, they have to fall down. Anadrita Yushmadankriya. Anadrita means without respecting. Yushmadankriya, your lotus feet. So since they don't respect the lotus feet of Krishna, they have to come back, even though they achieve that position by lot of endeavor. And those kind of people, they are not as avishuddha buddhaya. Their intelligence is not pure, impure intelligence. So due to the impure intelligence, they try to go to that higher platform, that is the Brahman platform. However, they have to come back. So these are the two things, two solutions given, which are not really solutions. One is just cultivating knowledge, and especially next one, cultivating the impersonal knowledge and trying to understand, I am just Brahman, and that's about it. So in that regard, the example is given of the cloud and the sun. The cloud is actually created by the sun, because the water is evaporating by the energy of sun. But by any man-made equipment, we cannot remove the cloud. It has to be uncovered by the sunlight itself. In the same way, we come under, when we choose to come to the material world, we come under the material, the energy of Maya, by the potency of Krishna. In the sense, Maya Devi is potency of Krishna. But to remove that, it's not just, you know, we cannot do directly, we can endeavor, and along with that, what is required? Mercy of the Lord is required. That is, for that, one needs to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. That's the reason. Mam evaye prabhadyante mayamedam tarantite. And here, we were discussing bhakti eka esha. That is the next word. Bhakti eka esham guru devatatma. So if you see bhakti eka esham, it consists of three words. Bhakti, ekaya, isham. Isham means the Supreme Lord. Bhakti, the devotion service. Ekaya. Ekaya means its unflinching devotion service. Means the ananya bhakti. So the ultimate solution to come completely out of the fear is ananya bhakti. That is unalloyed devotion service. Bhagavatam, in the first canto, there is a description of the verse in the second chapter, 17 till 21, how the process of devotional service works actually. It is said, Shrunatam Sakatha Krishna Punya Shrayana Kirtana Hridayandasto Hyabhadrani Vidhunodi Suhursatam. That is, by hearing the glories of Krishna, Krishna being situated in everyone's heart as Super Soul, he is Suhrut, he is the intimate friend. So he can actually remove the abhadrani, the all the unwanted things he can remove. Then what happens? The second step is given is nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtai. So by hearing bhagavatam, by hearing pastimes of Krishna daily, one can actually develop bhakti. And when one develops bhakti, that is tadarajasamo bhavo prasidati. That is, then the lower modes of material existence, the ignorance and passion, that is removed, and one comes to the platform of sattvagun. And from there it is given evam prasanna manaso. So that is very important. So when one gets out of the clutches of material existence, then he becomes prasanna manasa. It is said brahma bhuta prasannatma. So that is the stage one actually becomes happy. As we can see in Nectar Devotion, there are different levels of happiness. One is Shubhada. That is, one practices devotional service and come to the platform of Kleshagni, where all the material contaminations are removed, then one comes to the stage of Shubhada. Shubha means all auspicious qualities. Da means that which gives. So bhakti can give all auspicious qualities. And then one becomes happy. That is happiness in one level in devotional service. That happiness cannot be compared to happiness of material world. And on the next level, the happiness of devotional service is, it is called moksha lakhutakrit. That is, the happiness that is perceived in Brahman realization, it becomes insignificant compared to happiness of bhavabhakti or ecstatic devotional service. Because it is said, if you take a drop of, you know, drop of ocean, if you consider as the material happiness, and if you take the whole ocean itself, that can be compared to Brahmananda, the pleasure of not being in the material world. That is Brahmananda. And if you compare, you know, millions of that, then it becomes a drop of the pure love. That is Bhava Bhakti. So that is the level of happiness one perceives in Bhava, or that is called Moksha Lakhuda Krit. And ultimately, the ultimate level of happiness that is given is Sandrananda Visheshatma. That is the condensed happiness of a pure devotee. And in that stage, the happiness, whatever is there in the material existence or whatever is there in the Brahman realization, that it becomes imperceivable. They cannot consider it as happiness. So that is the level of happiness of pure devotion. So we can see the spiritual existence is completely opposite to material existence. One side is bhayam and other side is prasanna manasa. One is very happy. And the process as such in this age given is etan nirvidyamananam icchatam akuto bhayam yoginam nirpanirnitam hare namanukirtanam. So here also the term is mentioned, icchatam akuto bhayam. That is, it makes it very clear that the material existence is full of fear. So a fearless path to escape from the material existence is given for this age, especially as Harer Nama Anukirtanam. That is chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And further, this verse says, one more term very nicely explained, that is Guru Devatatma. Guru Devatatma, the literal translation, is, one who sees his own spiritual master as his Lord and very soul. So we call usually spiritual master Gurudev. So Gurudev means Guru as the Lord, spiritual master considering him as Lord. But here it is going one more level up, that is Guru Devat Atma. That is one who sees spiritual master as his Lord and the very soul. So we can see the example of Srila Prabhupada when he was reading, I think, Vyavasayatmika Bhuti, that verse. In the purport of, I think, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was mentioned that one should see the instructions of his spiritual master as one's own very life and soul. And Prabhupada actually took that into his heart and he executed the order of his spiritual master. So we can see how this term, you know, Guru Devata Atma, it's how significant it is. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you preach in English, English speaking to the English speaking people, so Srila Prabhupada preached to the English speaking people. And he said, whenever you get money, you print and print books. So we can see still that is, you know, carrying forward, that is, lot of books are being printed and is being distributed. So it is the order how Srila Prabhupada took, you know, this point, that is Guru Devatatma, seeing his own Guru as, you know, life and source. Also, Prabhupada mentioned, I was never alone. When Srila Prabhupada went to US, he was alone. Literally, no one was there to help. But he said, I was not alone. Because I was always associating with my spiritual master through his instructions. We can see the same similar example with Srila Rupa Goswami also. Because in his pranam mantra, we say, Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam, one who understood the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because for Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Supreme Lord, at the same time he is his spiritual master also. It is said, one time during Rath Yatra, Mahaprabhu was singing some songs from a book known as Kavya Prakash. And Rupa Goswami and other associates, they were listening to that. Some of them had a doubt, that is, whatever Mahaprabhu is singing, it apparently looks like mundane songs. But Sri Rupa Goswami, he didn't have any this kind of doubt. He perfectly understood what is the innermost feelings of Mahaprabhu. So he took that verse and he actually wrote the real meaning of the verse. And he went to Srila Haridas Thakur's house. Because Mahaprabhu, every day he used to visit Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, though he was born in a Muslim family, he is Namacharya. And out of humility, he never entered Jagannath temple in Puri. So one day, every day, Mahaprabhu, he will go to Haridas Thakur's house and he will give Jagannath Prasad. And that day, when he went, he got this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has written, because Rupa Goswami kept it in the roof of Haridas Thakur's house. When Mahaprabhu got this verse and when he started reading this, he became completely ecstatic. And he said, oh, it is amazing that Srila Rupa Goswami has understood my innermost feeling. How is it possible? It is really amazing. Then, near him, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami was there. He was his personal secretary. So he said there is nothing amazing in this incident, because if Rupa Goswami has understood your innermost desire, that is only due to one reason, that is he being the right recipient of your mercy. So this is this we can see how Rupa Goswami, he really understood the innermost desire of Rupa Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similar to Prabhupada, who understood the desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarita Thakur and he carried forward. I think I stop here. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for an excellent lecture. Can you tell us what is surrender actually? Your realization.
Surrender. Okay, basically surrender means Krishna has given the instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Guru is also giving the instructions. So by following the instruction is surrender.
What is surrender?
Basically following the instructions of Guru and Krishna. That is surrender. Any other comments? Corrections?
Would you like to say something about the service, devotional service? Devotional service means completely working for a temple and book distribution and all these activities, or is there anything else which can be considered as devotional service?
You mean say if you are studying or working, mm-hmm. how can we consider it as devotional service?
Yes.
That's the reason Bhagavad Gita, there are different levels of yoga are described. So in the level of karma yoga, one is attached to one who is one of whatever we are doing, one is attached to that. Or one is attached to the activity one is performing. It can be anywhere, it can be inside the temple or the outside the temple. But for purification, as a devotional service, we give the result of that activity. So that is karma yoga to Krishna. So if you are studying, the result of that you can give to Krishna. If you are working, the result of that, whatever you are getting, money or the influence you have, you can use it in service of Krishna. That is devotional service. Devotional service basically, that is I think the last verse. Using one's body, mind, intelligence, anything in service of Krishna. So whatever byproduct we produce in terms of the work, what we do, whatever we are getting, we can give that to Krishna. That is devotional service. Devotional service not necessarily means only doing service in the temple. It can be outside also. It can be at home. It can be at work. So it's a very generic term. No more questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.